Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Is salvation free or must it be purchased? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. In yesterday's broadcast, we started off with a quote by Bruce McConkie, a Mormon apostle who died in the mid-1980s. He wrote a book called The Doctrinal New Testament Commentary. We were quoting from Volume 3, page 461, where he says, "Salvation is free, but it must also be purchased. And the price is obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel." We were discussing yesterday what we as Christians see regarding this grace that God gives, that of course is radically connected with our salvation. It is based on God's grace that is given to us freely. As Christians, we have always believed that this grace is free. We receive our justification in the eyes of God by coming to Christ in faith, believing that He did the works for our salvation. Mormonism, however, talks about grace, but still there is an element of effort that must be done by the individual Latter-day Saint if he hopes to eventually achieve that forgiveness of sins that will allow him to receive exaltation, otherwise known as godhood, in the top level of the celestial kingdom. This, of course, to us is anathema. And as we mentioned yesterday, Michael Horton, a Christian theologian, says very much that very thing, where he talks about the church in Galatia, the Galatian church, how because they were getting away from the concept of free justification, Paul was very, very strong with them, saying that if they were on the verge of being cut off because of this view, in thinking that somehow their works were necessary in order to achieve what is absolutely essential in the Mormons' lives. So let's talk about that some more here, because I think McConkie's statement, salvation is free, but it must also be purchased, of course, that comes across to us as being one huge contradiction. It makes no sense whatsoever to us. But again, Mormons will use the phrase that salvation is free, or I should say grace. You know, they do believe in grace being free. It's an enabling power is what they will say. So they define grace as very different than the way we would define it. Now, Spencer Kimball, in his book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, we did a whole series on the miracle of forgiveness. But why is it important when we quote something from The Miracle of Forgiveness? It's because this book is one of the few books that has been recommended from the pulpit in General Conference. Leaders in the Mormon Church have recommended this book be read by members of the LDS Church if they want to understand what must be done if they hope to receive forgiveness and qualify for the celestial kingdom. Kimball said on page 206, and it's also found in the Book of Mormon Student Manual 121 and 122, this is 1989, page 36. "One of the most fallacious doctrines originated by Satan and propounded by man is that man is saved alone by the grace of God, that belief in Jesus Christ alone is all that is needed for salvation."
Well, and he also says on page 207, "And however powerful the saving grace of Christ, it brings exaltation to no man who does not comply with the works of the gospel." Your illustration that you used yesterday with the head of lettuce, I think, goes perfectly with that. It's not enough.
It's not enough. And so a Mormon would say, well, you believe then that you could just trust in Christ, and how many times have we heard it? Then you can go out and kill people. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that a person who comes to Jesus in faith and is justified is changed from the inside out. I would hope that that's not a desire that a true professing Christian really has in his heart. He needs to be convicted of that sin. Still, we are a sinful people. Still, we will sin. Even Mormons recognize that. But The question, of course, is what do Mormons believe about this grace? And is it really free as we understand it? Now, yesterday you read from Romans chapter 11, where Paul makes it very clear that if you're going to say something has to be done in order to receive this grace necessary for salvation, then it becomes what? No longer free. It's you're exchanging something for it. Now, you could say that as Christians, yeah, we do make an exchange for this grace. We give him all our filth. We give him all our sins.
Isaiah 64:6 says, all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags in God's sight. So that's right. We're giving him all this junk.
Yeah, we give Jesus garbage, and he gives us his grace. What an incredible exchange. But certainly what we give him as Christians is nothing to be proud of. Nothing to be proud of. And even if we were to give him what we would call a righteous work, well, Jesus, I was baptized in your name, or I gave tithes in your name, or I was married in a temple in your name. A Latter-day Saint would have to admit that those are righteous works. And yet Paul tells Titus, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. If it involves mercy, it certainly is something that is undeserved. It has to be undeserved. You cannot earn it. I have to say, I think the Mormons really miss it on this. But some might say, well, but the Mormon church is changing, Bill. They're talking about grace more. Yeah, they're talking about the same old grace they've always talked about.
Right.
There's really nothing new here, folks. It's the same old stuff. When you look, for instance, in True to the Faith, now this is a manual that the Mormon Church has out right now. Okay, this isn't Bruce McConkie stuff that goes back to the 1980s. This is right now, 2004, page 77 in True to the Faith. Through grace made available by the Savior's atoning sacrifice, all people will be resurrected and receive immortality. But resurrection alone does not qualify us for eternal life in the presence of God. Our sins make us unclean and unfit to dwell in God's presence, and we need his grace to purify and perfect us.
Period, right? There's a period there.
No, there's not. I'm sorry. It keeps going. It says, we need his grace to purify and perfect us after all we can do.
And we talked about that yesterday. 2 Nephi 25:23, they're quoting. And in fact, it goes on and says the phrase after all we can do teaches that effort is required on our part to receive the fullness of the Lord's grace and be made worthy to dwell with him. If you're a Christian who has been told by your Mormon friends that Mormons believe in grace just like they do, you need to bring up 2 Nephi 25:23. Ask them, what does that verse mean to them? And then you can have True to the Faith, which is a manual, a very important manual used in this church today. You can get this at any Deseret bookstore or anywhere where the church sells those kinds of books. And you ought to have that, because that definition of grace is very clear. I think in the Mormon mind, they understand what they mean when they say grace. But if you're getting bamboozled, I think you need to step back and say, wait a minute here, there's something wrong.
Absolutely. And what's fascinating to me is you have some of these very clever Mormon apologists. Robert Millett, I think, would be one of them, and others who try to give 2 Nephi 25:23 a different spin to make it more palatable to those of us that are on the outside looking in. And they will say things, but that really means in spite of all we can do. Oh, really? Is that it? Can you really take that interpretation from this passage that we just read from one of those manuals, True to the Faith? Our sins make us unclean and unfit to dwell in God's presence, and we need his grace to purify and perfect us in spite of all we can do? No, that makes no sense.
No,
not in light of other things that Mormons have said about this. The phrase, after all we can do, teaches that effort is required. It is admitted that you must do something in order to get it. You only have a partial amount of this grace. this enabling power. But if you hope to have your sins forgiven, that is the requirement. And as we read yesterday from Bruce McConkie out of Mormon Doctrine, page 408, and also Doctrines of the Gospel Student Manual, Religion 231 and 232, page 50, the law of justification includes a lot of things that an individual Mormon must do if they hope to receive that justification.
I don't know if we have enough time to do this, but Stephen E. Robinson, in his book Believing Christ, The Parable of the Bicycle and Other Good News, he's a BYU professor, here's what he said. I believe the emphasis in 2 Nephi 25:23 is meant to fall on the word we, all we can do, as opposed to all he can do. Moreover, all we can do here should probably be understood in the sense of everything we can do, or even whatever we can do. Thus, the correct sense of 2 Nephi 25:23 would be that we are ultimately saved by grace apart from whatever we manage to do. Grace is not merely a decorative touch or a finishing bit to trim off top of our own efforts. It is God's participation in the process of our salvation from its beginning to its end.
God's participation in our process, again, it's syncretistic. There's still effort on the part of the individual. And Robinson is one of those who says, well, if you say it's only by grace, or if you say it's by works, a pox on both of your houses.
Uh-huh.
You know, he has a melding together of effort, which is really no different than what we've just read here. I think Robinson also is very confused on this issue, but he's learned how to couch the phrases just right to appease a lot of evangelical Christians who are raising questions about this language that Mormons use.
So he can say that if you're going to buy this bicycle, this illustration he used, and a little girl can only come up with 92 cents, and then this parent pays the rest. I mean, that's not a good illustration of what biblical grace is about at all.
I thought his illustration was horrible. It wasn't even close to what the Bible's actually saying. He's trying to make it work with his presupposition, which is what many Mormons will do.
Because we can't bring anything to the table, even 92 cents.
We come to the table in debt. We come to the table with nothing but debt. Again, it goes back to the scum of our sin is what we come to the table with. Very much different than what Mormonism is trying to get across.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. If the LDS Church is not true, which church is? Didn't the Bible predict the apostasy of the Christian faith? These and 34 other questions often posed by Latter-day Saints are addressed in Kriegel Publishers' new book, Answering Mormons' Questions, written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. Included is a glossary of Mormon terms and questions for group discussions. This is a great resource for those who want to share their Christian faith. Answering Mormons' Questions is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or at mrm.org.
Hi, this is Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry and host of Viewpoint on Mormonism, heard daily on AM 820. I'm looking forward to meeting you at the May 17th Spring Vision Banquet for AM 820 and Utah Partnerships for Christ. Just go to www.upfc.org to order your tickets or call Russ East at 801-645-7433. That's 801-645-7433.